yesterday in the Mass, we saw that which we have been repeating, that the church is the orchard of the Lord. And of course, there are wonderful and beautiful plants for food and for beauty, for the glory of God and for the glory of man that he has established. But among the flowers of this orchard, which is, of course, the church, such as is the nave, the navis ecclesiae, the greatest of all the plants, the most beautiful and glorious and most fragrant of all the flowers, is that of the ever-Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Heart, the Mother of God. And so, of course, in this shrine which is hers, we continuously give her praise, and as we give her praise, we do not deny it to God, but we give it to God who created her. She is the most splendid, the highest of all her creatures, all God's creatures. And of course, she is not only the queen of the church on earth, but she is also the queen of the church in heaven and the liberator through Christ of the church in suffering and purgatory. She is the queen of the universe. After God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, she is the highest, and she is a queen of the universe. And of course, this is by the will, the graciousness of God himself. And today we see two different ideas that are given to us. One, which is, of course, very much a necessary thing for you and me to think about. Saint Paul the Apostle speaks to the Romans. And this we should remember, especially in times of tribulation. And of course, we are in times of tribulation. The church is in times of tribulations. That the sufferings of this age cannot compare to the glory that is to come, that shall be revealed in us and to us, that is, in heaven. So we must persevere. We must not give up. We must not let our guard down. We must continue to fight the good fight, to keep the course, and to serve the Lord. And then our Lord, in the Gospel of St. Luke, reveals to us also that not only is the church like an orchard, a vineyard, he compares it to different things throughout the scriptures. Of course, that's from God. That's from our Lord. But it is also like the ship, which of course the church is. It is the navis ecclesiae, the ship of the church. And that is why in a church, the central nave, here we don't have anything else, but the central nave is the navis of the church, the ship of the church. And so you're sitting in the ship of the church. Let's hope it doesn't sink. That, of course, depends on you. And our Lord then shows us that through obedience and faith, in this case, that of St. Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, through obedience and faith, all things are possible. They had fished all night and caught nothing. But he says, "At thy word, O Lord, I will do what thou dost command." And he lets down the net, and it breaks, it tears, and the ship is almost sinking. And they call the other ones, St. John and St. James, the sons of Zebedee, also known as Alpheus, from Mary of Cleophas, and St. John of Joseph of Cleophas, also Zebedee, also Alpheus. People had more than one name, just like we Spaniards have more than one name. And, of course, it is the ship of the church. It is from the obedience of St. Peter and his successors, and of the bishops and of the clergy and theologians of the church, that the nave will be filled. And of course, this is something that seems to be very hard to believe today in this day and age, when we see the whole church in turmoil and travail. But we should not despair. We should not give up. All things are possible. And so we give thanks to God for his wondrous, splendid, and very generous providence through which he provides for all of us. Now, on this weekend also, as you know, even though we have already celebrated the banquet and so forth, it is also a very portentous anniversary for me, myself. The anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. And yesterday, the anniversary of my first Mass. And a lot of people do not know, of course, there are pictures of me on the very first day. I had my first Mass at the Chapel of the Dorothean Sisters in Rome. That one of the attendants at the Mass, in fact, the sacristan, the principal sacristan of my first Mass, was a companion of Venerable Lucia dos Santos, Madre Acosta. And of course, she would tell me about Sister Lucy. Of course, that she was still alive. She was nothing more than that, which was one of the three seers of Fatima. Always, my whole life, since my birth, since my first communion, and all the way through, and even now, Our Lady of Fatima is in the middle, bringing Christ and encouraging me to bring Christ to you. And then the second Mass, which was today is the anniversary, was on the tomb of St. Peter the Apostle, whom we read about in the Gospel today. What a wondrous thing that God has granted to me. And through me to you, there are many blessings still flowing forth from the holy relics, the bones of Holy Peter, the Prince of the Apostles, the first Pope. Interestingly enough, there are others connected to this journey, and it takes many centuries, in my case, several centuries, 29 centuries. No, just kidding. Either way, yesterday, in 1497, a terrible event occurred, a very sad event. The body of the son of Pope Alexander VI, Borja, or Borgia in Italian, my ancestor also. His son, Juan de Borja, was fished out of the Tiber River. He was killed. And he was not a very good person. He beat his wife as she ran back to Spain. And as a result, the other things that happened in the family happened in Spain. And of course, the Holy Father was bereft. He locked himself up in the papal apartments for weeks. He would not eat, barely drink. But his Juan de Borja's wife was with child, and she had the help of Lucrezia Borgia, who was not as evil as the Medici's painter to be. They were our enemies. She helped her to escape her abusive husband. Of course, today is Father's Day, and we praise all the husbands, the fathers, who are wonderful and holy fathers, as all of you are here, no doubt. Yes, I must be blind, but anyway. And if you're not, then I and God will get you. But as a result, she went back to Spain, where he was the second Duke of Gandia, and she had a little boy who's also my ancestor. St. Francis Borgia, or Borja, who himself had 10 children. And of course, from those children, I come. Now, his wife died. He was the second most important man in Europe, in the Holy Roman Empire, in Spain. He was like the deputy of Emperor Charles. And he had a conversion, a reconversion. He went to Mass and Communion every day anyway, but even that doesn't mean that we are converted 100%. People think that they're so holy because they do a couple of things once in a while. And they're going to have something coming to them. And so he had a second conversion when he brought the body of the Empress, the most beautiful woman in Europe. And by the time she was buried, he had to open the casket, and she was hideous. And the larvae were coming out of her. You know, the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, in your stomach and out your mouth. Well, that's true. That will happen to all of us. And so he had a conversion. Shortly after that, his wife died. And then he divided his assets, which were many, among the 10 children, and he had the permission of the emperor and the permission of the pope to enter the Society of Jesus. And he became the third father general of the Society of Jesus, and of course, a saint. See, God can bring the most wondrous things, even from the most horrendous circumstances. And so here we are today. And the same thing, the empty ship, the broken nets, the sufferings of this time, the glory of the future that we must believe in, because we must believe like Peter in Christ. At thy word, I will go back fishing. And then he was rewarded. So too we. At thy word, O Lord, we shall continue. And of course, we should not be troubled about whatever happens. You know, Alexander had several children. That's certainly not what you consider of a holy pope. He was not. I hope that he's in purgatory because I pray for his soul. Otherwise, I can do nothing for him if he's in hell. But from him came a saint and others besides. He also established many monasteries, and he gave us one of the most beautiful things of our Catholic faith. It was he who commanded that the Angelus be recited 3 times a day. And so we still do it every day, 3 times, even though there are different times depending on when people are awake or not. And so today we give thanks to God for his divine and wondrous providence. And I give thanks to God because if it were not for Alexander's evil, I would not be here. So God knows what he does. God writes straight and crooked lines. And we are here. And it doesn't matter what anybody does or doesn't do on the throne of Peter. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. That does not depend on one man. It depends on the God-man, but not on any other one man. And if they're unfaithful, like Alexander was, God will take care of it. God will take care of us. So we continue to do God's will in our own life. It is not for us to judge or to think what's going on or this or that or the other. God knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. We certainly do not. We cannot fathom why these things are going on that are going on. But God knows. And the sufferings of this time cannot be compared to the glory that is coming. And so we give thanks to God. And I give thanks to God that he has placed me here where Our Lady of Fatima is honored and venerated, and where she bestows upon us and upon you tremendous graces. And today I ask her and her most beloved spouse, Saint Joseph, her most chaste and immaculate spouse, to especially bless all the fathers, our putative fathers, our biological fathers, our adoptive fathers, our godfathers, whether they be good or not, that may God bless them and fill them with graces. And may they do God's will. And may they attain to the glory of heaven. So to all of us and to you, a very blessed and happy Father's Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.